couple of weeks ago, and I really feel like today's the day. I want to talk about faith that reaches Jesus. I'm going to talk to you this morning about a familiar passage, probably familiar. If you've been in part of the church for any length of time at all, you probably will recognize this passage of Scripture. I've preached on it here before, but I'm going to preach on it again this morning. Amen? Faith is more than just believing that God exists. How many of you agree with that? Amen. Faith is so much more than just believing that God exists. Listen, the devil himself believes God exists. Yeah. But faith reaches toward Jesus even when our circumstance says otherwise. Is this working?
Amen.
Is this working? Faith reaches towards Jesus when everything around you looks like there's no way. Turn with me this morning to Luke chapter 8, if you would, please. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, drop down to verse 40, and we'll read through the rest of this chapter. When you finally get there, would you just stand to your feet and we'll read God's Word. Luke chapter 8 and verse 40. And so it was, when Jesus returned, that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitude thronged him. Now a woman, having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all of her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And when all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me." And now, when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him, in the presence of all the people, the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." And while he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, "Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well." And when he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, "Do not weep, she's not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put him outside, and he took her by the hand and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Her spirit returned, and she arose immediately, and he commanded that she be given something to eat. Father, I pray that you would fill in the blanks, if you will, where I fail in ability to communicate exactly what you are communicating to us through this passage. But Lord, it's such a powerful step of faith for this woman. And Lord, when the report was that your daughter is dead, Jesus says, and he speaks to the death and says, life will be there. God, encourage us this morning through your word. God, help us to take steps of faith, to trust you, to lean on you, no matter what it looks like. And God, you're going to make a way where there seems to be no way. Lord, for that we give you all the glory and the honor and praise. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen.
Amen.
And amen. You may be seated. In this passage of Scripture, we see, without a doubt, two desperate situations. A dying little girl and a woman who had suffered for 12 long years. She's spent every dime she could come up with. She has spent all of her money. She's done everything she could do in the physical realm to be able to get healing. And I mean, she's been to the urgent care. She's been to the ER. She's had the paramedics come. She's done everything she knows to do. And nothing has worked. One story involves a respected ruler. The other, a woman who is an outcast. Because of her health, she's an outcast. She can't even be out in the public. She can't leave her home. She's unclean. But how many of you know desperate times call for desperate measures? She put all of the social parameters behind her. She heard that Jesus was in town, and she had faith that Jesus could heal her. It's interesting that the Bible says that she touched the hem of his garment. It wasn't because that was the only thing she could get a hold of. It's because the hem of the garment represented the authority. The authority of the individual was woven into and represented in the hem of that garment. That's why she touched the hem of the garment. If I can just touch the hem, the thing on his robe that speaks to his authority. Both of these individuals discovered the same truth. When faith reaches Jesus, Jesus responds. There's four things that I want for us to see in this story that teaches us about faith. Number one, faith comes in desperation. Faith comes in desperation. Faith presses through the obstacles. Have you ever had to press through some obstacles in your life? Everything looks bad, but I'm pressing on anyway. Faith trusts Jesus beyond your fear. How many of you know fear is crippling? Fear can cripple you. But faith trusts beyond our fear. And faith receives God's power and God's life. In the first couple of verses of our text here, it says, "So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet, and he begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age. She was dying, but as he went, the multitude thronged him." Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue. The synagogue was the local center of worship. He was a lay person. He was elected as one of the leaders. The leaders were responsible for supervising the worship service, for caring for the scrolls, for running the daily school, for keeping the congregation faithful to the law, for distributing the alms and administering the care of the building and finding rabbis to teach. He was a respected guy. He was an influential guy. He was an important guy. Yet none of his status could heal his daughter. None of them. And so in desperation, you ever been up against the wall? No place to go? In desperation, he falls at Jesus' feet. Because that's what desperation does. Desperation humbles us. It strips away all of our pride. It shows us our need for God. Sometimes God allows situations beyond our control so we will learn to trust Him completely. Are you trusting Him completely, or are you just trusting Him for your salvation? There's a difference. There's a difference. Sometimes God allows these things to come to find out where is my trust. People wait till oftentimes every other option fails before we seek God. We take every kind of drug, every kind of medication, go to every kind of doctor, we do all this stuff, and then when nothing else works, we go, maybe I'll pray about it. Hello. I'm guilty too. But faith begins when we recognize that I cannot do this without Jesus. The Bible says that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I wish this morning that I had the answer to why Jesus doesn't answer all of our prayers the way we want Him to. I mean, there's honestly, and I don't mean to rip scabs off or anything, but there ain't one of us in this room, and especially you, that would love to have Tommy here with us this morning. Why didn't God heal? Why does God heal one and not the other? I don't know. I don't have that answer. I wish I did. I'd write a book. No, I probably wouldn't. I don't understand it. I don't know why. All I know is that regardless, I have to put my faith and my trust in Him in every situation. I have to accept that He's a sovereign God, that He's in control, that He knows the reason why this happens and that happens, why He doesn't heal this one, why He does heal that one. I don't know. He does. But look at this. Maybe your crisis is the doorway to deeper faith. Maybe what you're going through, maybe that crisis that's in your life can become the doorway to a deeper walk with the Lord, a deeper step of faith. Verses 43 through 48 says, "Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years who had spent all her livelihood on physicians could not be healed by any came from behind and touched the border of His garment. Immediately her blood flow stopped, and Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' And when all denied it, Peter and those with him said, 'Master, the multitude throng and press you. And you say, who touched me?' And when the woman saw that she was no longer hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said, 'God, be of good cheer. Your faith, your step of desperate faith has made you well. Go in peace.'" The risk that she took by leaving the house is phenomenal. She was, if she would have been, I mean, I don't know how she wasn't caught and how far she was from her home when she came to Jesus, but she could have been all kinds of stoned, and all these things could have happened to her because she went against all the social norms and said, "Listen, I don't care what the rules are today. I got to get to Jesus." Everybody in the crowd was bumping into Jesus. Everybody was rubbing, and I mean, it was a packed place. place, and everybody was bumping into him. Everybody was going everywhere. They were not. And Jesus stops in the middle of it and says, "Wait a minute, who touched me?" And the disciples were like, "Are you kidding me? Everybody's touching you." He said, "No. Some people might be bumping into me, but there's only been one that touched me." An act of faith, a step of faith. Somebody reached out and touched me because I felt virtue flow from me. Isn't that amazing? One thing to bump into Jesus, it's a whole other deal when you touch him. Luke interrupts Jairus' story with this story. For 12 years, she's suffered. Everything that she's had, I'm sure she hawked her sewing machine, her pots and pans. I mean, everything, any way she could come up with money, I'm sure she did and spent it on doctors. According to the Jewish law, she was considered ceremonially unclean. She was isolated. She was rejected. Certainly because of the loss of blood physically in her body, she had to be weakened. But she mustered all the strength that she could come up with, and she pushed through the crowd and she touched Jesus. Isolated, rejected, weak. And I put hopeless. But she really wasn't hopeless because she had faith in a man named Jesus.
Amen.
Right.
She spent all that she had looking for help. And here's where faith steps in. This is what she did. She said within herself, "If only I may touch his garment." I shall be made well. She had made up her mind, if I could just get close enough to touch his garment. See, she didn't even touch him like that. She just touched his hem. But yet, the act of faith is what released virtue in Jesus to flow out to her. Isn't that amazing? She didn't bump into him. She deliberately and on purpose touched him. That, this morning, church, that is determined faith. She was not going to take it. Have you ever had to just make up your mind, "I'm not taking no for an answer"? I'm not taking no for an answer. I'm going to press in. I'm going to push in. That's determined faith. She pressed through the crowd. She pressed through her weakness. She pressed through her shame. She pressed through even her fear. And what is her reward? The reward was that immediately she was healed. Immediately. She was healed. I want you to not miss this morning that there's a difference between the crowd and faith. There's a difference between the crowd and faith. Many people touched Jesus in a physical way that day, but only one touched him by faith. Only one reached out and touched him. There's a difference between being around Jesus and truly believing in Jesus. Church attendance isn't what saves you. Religious activity alone will not bring healing to you. It is faith that connects you and I to the power of God. Faith and faith alone. Faith keeps reaching even when our prayers seem delayed. Faith keeps reaching when pain continues and when answers haven't came yet. Anybody still waiting on some answers? Faith must overcome fear. Luke chapter 49, or Luke chapter 8, verse 49. While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, "Your daughter is dead." Don't trouble the teacher. But when Jesus heard it, he said, "Don't be afraid, only believe. She will be made well." Jesus was requiring him, don't have faith in the word that was spoken. Have faith in me. Have faith in what I can do. And so while he was speaking, news arrives, "Your daughter's dead, don't trouble." Those are devastating words, and the situation of this father has gone from bad to impossible. She is dead. But Jesus said, "Don't be afraid, only believe, and she'll be made well." Faith and fear battle for control of your heart. Faith and fear are in constant battle for your heart. Fear says, "It's over." Fear says, "It's over." Fear says, "Nothing can change. It's the way it is." How many of you have said, "It is what it is"? I've said that. I've been doing that. Fear says it's over. Fear says nothing can change. And fear says God is too late. But fear doesn't know God that I serve. Because faith says Jesus still has authority. No. Faith says Jesus still has authority. Faith says God still works miracles. Faith says nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. Break it apart. No thing is impossible with God. Jairus' friends thought that Jesus could help only the people who are alive. And so they advised him to drop the matter and just go home. In fact, we've already called the professional mourners and the criers, and they're already at your house, and they're already weeping and wailing and carrying on. Jesus encourages this father with a word of hope. Only believe. They come around the corner, they walk up to the house. That scene that they saw there would have been a discouragement to anybody. The professional mourners were already there weeping and wailing, and a crowd of friends and neighbors had gathered. The Jewish people of that day lost no time or energy in showing and sharing their grief. Jesus immediately took control of the situation. He told the crowd to stop weeping because the girl was not dead. Of course she was dead. The scripture even says her spirit had left her body. She was graveyard dead. She's dead. Any medical professionals in here? You know that someone's dead, they're dead. Not when Jesus is around. He messed up funerals. She was dead. Her spirit had left her body. The enemy often attacks most fiercely right before breakthrough comes. It's always the darkest just before the dawn. It's always the coldest just before daylight. And the enemy often attacks most fiercely right before breakthrough come. Don't let bad news cancel your faith. Don't let bad news cancel your faith. How many of us in the last number of weeks have received bad news? Of a loved one, of this, that, or the other thing, we receive bad news. Don't let that bad news dictate your faith. Faith sees Jesus bring life where only death is existing. Look at the verses 51 through 56. And when he came to the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the girl. And they all wept and mourned for her, but he said, "Do not weep, she's not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. I mean, you know, Jesus does not allow the world's ridicule to affect his position. Nor should we allow it to affect our position. I know who I am. We know who we are in Christ Jesus. Am I perfect? No. Do I mess up? Yes. Do I have a Savior? Yes. His name is Jesus. Am I covered by the blood? Yes. Jesus said, "Don't weep, she's not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. How many of you hate to be laughed at?
Oh, yes.
It's degrading, it's humiliating, it's all of those things when someone just laughs at you. The world often mocks what it does not understand. They couldn't understand. She is dead. They know she's dead. Jesus said, "Don't weep, she's not dead, she's just asleep." Jesus took her by the hand and he said to her, "Little girl, arise. Get up. Get up." And her spirit returned. Which means it had left. Because it couldn't return if it hadn't left.
That's right.
And her spirit returned. Listen, this is a picture of Christ's power. He heals the hopeless. He restores the broken. And he brings life to the dead. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. This miracle points us toward the greater truth of the gospel, and it is this: that Jesus came to bring spiritual life to those dead in sin. Every person in this story had a need that was beyond human ability. For 12 years, this woman had spent every dime she could get her hands on for human healing, and it never came. How many of you know sometimes you got to hit the bottom before you find your way out? She had no other resource. There was no other place for her to go. The doctors had quit seeing her. Her insurance had canceled her. They dropped her. Even Obamacare wasn't going to help her. Wow. She had nothing except to reach out to this man that she had heard about that was coming to town named Jesus. Every person had a need beyond human ability. The woman couldn't heal herself. Jairus couldn't save his daughter. And humanity can't save itself from sin. We need a Savior. Jesus came with healing for the broken. He came with forgiveness for the sinner. He came with life for the spiritually dead. The greatest miracle of all, I've said this forever and I'll continue to say it as long as I have breath. The greatest miracle is not physical healing. The greatest miracle is salvation. That's the greatest miracle. Because of sin, we're separated from God. Because of sin, we are spiritually unclean. We are powerless to save ourselves. But because of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus made a way for us to receive eternal life by faith. Not of your works, but by faith. Lord, I believe that your word says, if I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, I shall be saved. That's his word. I believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, we're whosoever, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Jesus made a way for every one of us to receive eternal life by faith. Today, you might feel broken. Today, you might feel ashamed. You might be fearful. You might even feel hopeless. Maybe somebody told you at one point or another that there's no hope for you. I've heard that. I've been told that. There's no hope for you, but I'm still standing. Still standing. Sometimes we might get wobbly on our feet, but we're still standing. For years and years and years, Walter Payton was the greatest running back of all time. The statistics say that he averaged 9 yards per carry. What that means is sometimes he only made it a yard. Sometimes he got knocked back for a loss. Sometimes he made 20-yard gain. The secret to a Walter Payton holding that record is that he always got up. Every time he got knocked down, he got back up. Sometimes he just jumped up like that. Sometimes one of his buddies would reach down and grab him by the hand and pull him up. Sometimes they called the gator in from the side, put him on a board, hauled him off. But he always got back in the game. He always got back in the huddle. He always got up and took another snap. Today, Jesus is saying to you and to me, come to Jesus by faith. See what faith in a man named Jesus would do in your life. Romans 10 and 13 says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever calls. It doesn't say as long as you're not too bad. As long as you didn't wait too long. As long as you're not past a certain age. No. It says whoever. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be. Say shall be. Shall be saved. Because here's the thing. Faith reaches out. Faith is an action word. Faith reaches out. And Jesus responds with grace. He responds with grace. Faith kneels before Jesus in desperation. Faith presses through the obstacles. And faith refuses fear. Faith even believes Jesus for life. and restoration. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 says, He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete that in the day of Jesus. He's working on you. None of us have arrived. None of us are perfect. None of us have made it yet. He's still working on you. Faithfully in Jesus for life and for restoration. Listen, this might be the most important thing that I've said all day long. I've saved it till now. No situation is beyond Christ's power. No situation is beyond Christ's power. Yeah, I know that. Because He said in His Word that He's all powerful. All authority has been given unto Him. And you know what He does in the end of the gospel? He gives that authority and that power to us. In Acts chapter 1, He says, wait, and I'm going to endue you with power. He's going to impart to us the Holy Spirit of God to empower us and to carry the authority. He said, we are ambassadors. We see a lot on the news today about an ambassador. Ambassadors, I don't know if you know this or not, but ambassadors are powerful people. You know what empowers them? The place that sent them. The ambassador has the power of the place that sent them backing them. We've been sent by heaven, church. Think of the power we carry with us because of who sent us. No situation is beyond Christ's power. The woman touched His garment and was instantly healed. Jairus held on to the word that Jesus spoke and his daughter returned to life. They both received a miracle. They both acted by faith. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me this morning. Listen. Only you know what you're going through. Only you know what you're facing. Only you know whether your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life or not. But I know one thing. I know that today you can leave here with the assurance that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book. You can know that you know that you know that you know. But should Jesus come today, I'm going to go and be with Him. You can know that. You can have that assurance. You can have it. How do I get it, preacher? You get it by acknowledging Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. Get it by reaching out by faith and saying, Lord, I realize that I'm a mess, but I need a Savior. And I just heard the pastor say, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm going to call on you today, Lord. So if you're here today and heads are bowed and eyes are closed and people are praying, you're here today, you say, preacher, I've never accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, but today I want to receive Him as my Lord. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to just raise your hand and we'll pray with you right now. Anybody at all, say, preacher, that's me. I need Jesus in my life. Anybody at all? Maybe you're here today, maybe you're watching by way of the internet. I can't tell whether you got your hand up or not, but if you do, you give this type of message on there, your hands up, if you'll pray the prayer with me that I'm about to pray in just a minute, you can be just as saved sitting in your house as you can in this church, because it's not about this church building, it's about your step of faith. Maybe you're here today and you accepted Jesus as your Lord, but man, stuff happened, life got in the way. Tried to fix some things, it didn't work. Today you're at the end of the road and you're going, man, I need Jesus. I need to know that I want to rededicate, I want to recommit my life to Jesus, because things just seem to be going crazy. And today I want to recommit my life to Jesus. I want to leave this place knowing, no matter what, I'm a child of the Most High God. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Anybody at all, say, Richard, that's me. I want Jesus in my life. Anybody at all? Well, Father God, this morning, I pray that there's something in these notes, in this message this morning that has touched somebody somewhere, whether around the world or in this house. And I'm going to take a step of faith. I'm going to live my life by faith. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. So today, Lord, I'm going to step out by faith. I thank you for saving me. Thank you for redeeming me. I thank you for calling me your own. And I thank you for this day. Be with us, Lord. Bring us back together tonight at 6 o'clock. I pray, Lord, that you bring the increase. I pray, Lord, that you would rise up within each one of us. I pray that we call somebody when we get home and say, hey, we missed you today in church. Go with us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
And amen. God bless you. Thanks for joining us this morning. And we will see you tonight.
Have we stopped it?